and WGCH.com anywhere. The opinions expressed in our talk shows are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio. And now, the Greenwich Sentinel Radio Hour on 1490 WGCH.
Good afternoon, Greenwich. This is Beth O'Malley at Be Well with Beth on the Greenwich Sentinel Radio Hour, WGCH 1490 or WGCH.com from anywhere. Good afternoon, Rob Adams.
Hi, Beth.
So last night, I drove all the way out to Rhode Island, Rob. Oh, that's such a sad Steelers t-shirt. It makes me cry.
It's the original Steely McBeam. That's 1961.
That is really cool.
It is a cool t-shirt.
That is awesome.
It is a very cool t-shirt.
But
I will respect my team.
I drove out. I get to the airport in Providence, Rhode Island to meet my child's son.
Yes.
No, my...
Your son.
Yeah, my son.
Your child.
It's
your son.
Somebody. All right, so Jimmy's in eighth grade, and he's a diehard Steelers fan.
Is that who I met last week, briefly, by the way?
Yes. Yes, you did.
What a nice young man. Very nice to meet him.
Thank you. Would love
to talk more with him, especially now that I know he's a Steelers fan.
Yes. So he has made trips to Pittsburgh.
I've been to one Steeler game in Pittsburgh.
It's wonderful.
Like a religious experience.
Yes, yeah. Somehow he ended up down somewhere, I don't know, below and wearing all of these Super Bowl rings and has pictures of all of this wonderful stuff. But last night I pick him up at about 10:30 p.m. or 11, and I'm so excited to say what a wonderful night you have and give him a big hug and I'm going to, you know, take you home. And he burst out in tears.
Yeah, I'm right there with him. I didn't cry, but it stunk.
So my condolences to you.
Yeah.
And to Jimmy and to all of our Pitts.
And you know what? I should warn everybody, simply because of the impending storm, we're not going to do a Greenwich Sentinel doubleheader live today. We'll be back tomorrow, but I love Beth. I think the world of Beth, and that's basically why I'm here is you.
Thank you, Rob.
Because 3 o'clock, I am the hasty retreat back to New York because we're supposed to get 3 to 6 inches and ice up my way. So,
oh, goodness.
Yeah, so I'm flying out of here.
From here, I go right over to Mavis, where Sean at Mavis has promised me the best snow tires that are made on Earth.
That's awesome. If Sean wants to give me a good deal, we'll chat. We will chat. But yeah, I think it's best to just everybody be safe, especially with all this wind and stuff going on. A lot of advisories, a lot of warnings. I don't mean to take up Beth's show, but I do think I owe it to everybody to say that there are a lot of warnings going on, especially along the coast. Inland, it's more snow and ice, which is really scary stuff. So take the storm seriously.
That's exactly right. Thank you,
Rob. And be prepared.
Yep. Sounds good. All right. Well, we have an exciting show here this afternoon, and it's actually one of my favorite topics to discuss because I think that there's so much misunderstanding. And quite frankly, as my guest, who I'll keep her name a secret for now, but my guest and I were chatting for, you know, the last half hour about all of the different topics we want to discuss, and quite frankly, we could do 3 or 4 shows. So what we're going to do is a brief overview, discuss what the YWCA offers, and the topic for today's show is domestic violence. And I'm here to welcome Leslie Coplin, who is the Greenwich Prevention and Outreach Coordinator for the YWCA Domestic Violence Services.
Domestic Abuse Services.
Domestic Abuse Services. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much. This is really exciting. This is really my initiative now. Our initiative at the Y is to really get this information out into the community, to collaborate and partner with everyone and educate them about this topic.
And during the show today, we'll discuss the collaboration between the domestic abuse services at the Y, collaboration with both the Greenwich Police Department as well as the having an advocate over right here in Stamford at the courthouse, so that should there be legal issues that come up, that victims can really at the court not have to sit there in front of the person who has been abusive to them, but can be kind of shielded away in a private room and have someone by their side at all times, in addition to you know, an attorney or so forth who might be representing them.
Exactly.
What I'd like to do is on just to bring the listener's attention to to bring the listener's attention to my Facebook page, Be Well with Beth, where I have put up an ad describing today's show. And I don't typically speak about those ads, but I really think it's important that if folks are wanting to know a little bit more education, I did list a lot of information there at Be Well with Beth on Facebook. So the page is Be Well with Beth. And I listed a lot of statistics for domestic abuse here in the town of Greenwich, as well as nationwide. I kept it brief and just to bullet points, but that's a good resource for folks. Here at the in Greenwich, there's an average of 16 to 21 hotline calls per day. And we've, in Greenwich alone, have sheltered 123 individuals in the last year. So I think that there's a lot of information out there that, you know, our listeners really might not know.
Well, the first thing I usually start off when I present anywhere, and I've presented to the Department of Social Services, to all the school nurses in the public schools of Greenwich, Silver Hill Hospital, is I basically say it is happening here, and that it is the most shocking statistic is that it's the second most investigated crime by the Greenwich Police Department, and the number one most violent crime. So it is happening here. Domestic violence, or as it's often called, intimate partner violence, it doesn't discriminate. It's every socioeconomic status, educational level, sexual orientation. Really, the statistics remain the same. And that's kind of the first message that we're looking to get out there. You know, not that it doesn't happen here or it happens to those type of people in those type of neighborhoods. It's really not that. It's really happening here. So you're right about that.
There was a, I think it was a TED Talk about 5 years ago that really opened my eyes to the level of abuse with highly educated women. Mm-hmm. There's a woman who was
Leslie. Yes. I remember that name. Yes. I can look it up. Yeah.
Yeah. And great. She was, I believe, a Harvard graduate or Yale. She was one of the big Ivies. And she, we'll get that information mm-hmm. anyway later on in the show. But she spoke to what it was like to be a victim of abuse, being as highly educated as she was and as super successful in her career as she was, and even being the breadwinner in the family and coming home, you know, to incredible abuse.
Right. And that is a question we get. One of my favorite parts of my job is we present to all middle schoolers. We present to sixth graders about healthy relationships in the Greenwich Public Schools, every health class. And then we go back in eighth grade, and your son was actually in our last round.
That's right. Yeah.
Hello. We present to them about teen dating violence. Because once again, the whole idea is prevention, right? We want to get the message out there of this is what it looks like. And as you said, one of the number one questions we get from the kids is like, that's so dumb. If anybody treated me that way, I'd be out of there. But what I'm hoping we'll talk about today is also kind of you don't know you're in it until you're in it. And then you're in it deep. And it's not so easy to get out. It is obviously possible. But domestic violence, intimate partner violence, teen dating abuse, it's all very complicated. So we can talk about that if you like, that the types of abuse.
Right.
You know, most people picture domestic violence as a black eye, right? So the first type of abuse is physical, but there's actually six types of abuse. And physical is kind of the tip of the iceberg. It's what everyone pictures like that. I think you even have a picture in your ad.
Right.
The bruised eye or the black eye. And that is certainly abusive. Another form of physical abuse is physical intimidation. And that's even more confusing to someone who's in a relationship that's abusive, because the abuser never actually touches them, right? They might block a doorway during an argument to say, this argument isn't over till I say it is. Or they might break some property of yours, and the message is still the same.
Or and even with abuse towards pets, they might be in a rage on you, but then take that out on a pet.
Absolutely, or threaten the pet. We had a client whose husband was, you know, threatening the dog with a knife. So these all form a web to say it's not so easy just to leave, right? I mean, if you love your dog, as I love mine, you know, it's part of your family.
Right.
And abusers will manipulate and use anything they can to keep you there, right? And keep that control over you.
And the intimidation factor, I mean, even slamming their fists down around you in a very intimidating way, whereby you may know intellectually that you've known this person for years that you've been involved with or married to, and you're aware that it's highly unlikely that they may hit you. But I've worked with victims who will start shaking at the fear of that level of rage and the hitting of walls or breaking of doors.
You're punching the wall next to you. That's, you know, we all know what that message is. The message is you are physically intimidated. You are afraid.
Yes.
And then the next is sexual abuse, which seems pretty self-explanatory, but it's anything of a sexual nature that someone would use to have power and control over you. We talk a lot to the teens now, but we know it's happening to adults as well. You know, if you send someone, if you're pressured to send someone, you know, a provocative photo, it's anything, you know, that you're not interested in. If they're talking to you in a public place about your body, obviously in the most extreme situation, it would be rape, but, many things along the way that right there you're being controlled through sexual.
And again, that type of abuse can start very subtly where, and I think we started to allude to this before we spoke really about the physical violence, that oftentimes it's such a slow, insidious process in terms of there's this loving, charming, wonderful self that the abuser demonstrates to you, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, boom. And with the sexual abuse, too, that can escalate over time, and that can take a few years to escalate or even 5 years.
Absolutely. Yeah. All of these types of abuse can intensify and, you know, have lasting effects on you. So even once you're outside of the relationship, that definitely speaks to the next form, which is really what we see the most of, which is emotional abuse. And that's, you know, anything where someone is using, you know, your emotional state to have power and control over you. And obviously, there's a lot of overlap here. I mean, if someone is hitting you or doing something of physical intimidation to you, it's going to affect you emotionally. But the key things with that, kind of playing into what you said about it being sneaky, is manipulation, right? So I'm not necessarily saying to you, don't hang out with those people anymore. But I'm saying to you, you know, oh, I love you so much, you know, that I want to spend all my time with you. And don't you want to spend all your time with me? Mm-hmm. And I mean, what does that feel like? Even if you're a young adult, if you're a teenager, if you're an adult, that feels great, right? Mm-hmm. Or someone's texting me all the time, it feels great. And yet, you know, then I feel the pressure I have to text them back too, and it's distracting me from the rest of my life. And the other thing is the isolation, right? That sort of speaks to what I just said. If you're sort of being pressured to not hang out with your other friends, family members, you become isolated. And then when you realize you're in an abusive relationship, that's when the abuser becomes the biggest part of your life. And and they know that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And it's, again, so insidious. And it may be as simple as they're extremely rude to your closest friends, and then all of the plans that are made socially are with his friends.
Right. I actually had a personal association with this. Someone I know who was getting married told me a story about someone who was in their wedding party, and the boyfriend of the bridesmaid was becoming such a high maintenance and annoying thing that basically this bridesmaid got cut out of the wedding. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, that's exactly what he wanted, because this was right. one of her best friends, and she no longer speaks to her. So it can happen to anyone. You know, it really can.
And I find that also in families, the family will start to pull away because they find the abusive partner so irritating to them.
Right.
They don't want to be around their own sometimes child, sibling anymore, so the family will distance themselves, which again leads to the abuse
Absolutely.
Of the victim.
You're right on the money
isolated
there.
Yes. Now not only from her friends who don't like her partner, but now also from her family.
Exactly. And I want to talk about the cycle of abuse, but the part of it is that if you've seen this play out, we all have that friend who has the same problem that they talk to you about over and over again. I really should quit my job. And you spend hours and hours on the phone talking about it. And after a while, you're like, oh, God, I can't talk about this anymore. Like, you're not doing what I said mm-hmm. and whatever. But in this situation where your friend or your family member, your coworker, is in a situation, you know, where they're being abused, that plays into the hands of the abuser because, oh, I can't deal with your drama anymore. I'm out. I'm not talking to you anymore. And that's the isolation piece, right? So it's really right. very, as you said, sneaky, insidious. Those are definitely the words. And speaking of words, the next is verbal abuse, right? And that's, you know, any sort of put down, anything with words that has power and control over you. And, you know, often what we say about the emotional and the verbal abuse is while bruises can heal, that kind of never goes away. If you're with someone who's calling you stupid or ugly or fat or saying nobody else will want you over and over and over again, you really start to take that in, right? Mm-hmm.
Sometimes in working, I just want to add, mm-hmm. with young women who are coming in, young adult women, it's almost sometimes I feel like the abusive men have gone to school and learned certain key phrases because they always seem to be the same phrases. No one will ever love you as much as I love you. Mm-hmm. You would be nobody without me here. How would you do that? You can't handle stuff like that. I'm here to help you with that.
Right. And the no one else will love you as much as I do. That alone, doesn't that sound really nice? You know,
yeah.
I mean, that you're
right.
sort of speaking to exactly the manipulation, right? They know what to say. As we often talk about, you know, especially when we talk about a community like Greenwich, where people are like, oh, he just snapped, or oh, he really lost it. There are often people who in the rest of their lives can really control everything that they do and say. It's really aimed at their partner. So I just wanted to say that the name of the TED Talk is the woman who did the TED Talk, which you spoke about
yes.
the very highly educated woman who was in an abusive relationship. It's actually fantastic. Her name is Leslie Morgensteiner.
Oh,
just want to give her
wonderful.
A shout out.
So then you would just Google Leslie Morgensteiner.
Right, TED Talk.
TED Talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really good.
Domestic abuse, domestic mm-hmm. violence. Yep.
Yeah.
It's one of the best I've seen by a highly sophisticated, highly educated woman who speaks to why is it that there is such a prevalence of domestic violence with highly educated women with master's degrees, PhDs, attorneys, doctors?
Right. I mean, because it's a crime like no other. If someone comes up on up to you on the street and steals something from you or says something cruel to you or hits you, you're going to immediately, you know, put that person in their place or alert the authorities. But when you love the person, when you have children with them, when you have a history with them, when they've also been the best person in your life at many times, it's very confusing. You know, we say once you know, you can't not know. But before you know it, you know, there's so many things that come into play. Denial, dependency, hope that they're going to change. I always have to mention, just because I saw another trailer yesterday, you know, Beauty and the Beast is about to reappear in the theaters. And what's the message there? If you love someone enough, even if they're a beast, they'll turn into a prince,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right, right.
So it's out there in the media. We often mistake passion, you know, jealousy and control for passion. Who
mm-hmm.
doesn't want passion?
Right.
And as I said, then by the time you know you're in an abusive relationship, you're really far in it.
I think your use of the word control is so key here, too. I had a client come to me who was speaking about how on out of nowhere, when she would get home from bringing all of the children home on a Friday, she would get to the door and her spouse would say, and this happened many times, where her spouse would say, turn around, we're going right to the car, get the kids back in the car seats, I've packed everyone's bags and we're going on vacation, I'm surprising you. Now,
oh, wow.
There was no choice. It was, we're booked on the flight, you're going here. Ironically, even more complex in the situation was this was a man who wasn't working. And so all of the control was using her money to fund things that she had no say in. And it took her quite a while of complaining to her girlfriends, where the friend said, you know, it sounds crazy, but that sounds like abuse. You don't have a choice in your kids of activities, and they're not allowed to do anything, and you can't make your own
money.
Her
friend said that to her?
Her friends.
Wow, what a great friend. Because one of the things that we say is, you know, it's very tempting, kind of like I said, that, oh, my God, I can't deal with your drama. I'm done with you. Is, you know, even for those of us who do this work, to stay patient, to stay supportive, to stay open, to keep those lines of communication open. But in just like you said, that friend said, to be very specific. So instead of saying he's a jerk, you're saying, wow, I've noticed, I saw this and it made me uncomfortable.
Yes.
I hear you saying this and that doesn't sound right to me. How does that make you feel? So that they come to the realization themselves. Because what we always say, you know, with the work we do is, if we tell our clients what to do, we're no better than the abuser, right? You know,
whole,
I mean, you're a social
exactly,
worker, so the
yes.
client-defined advocacy, that we really want them to make the decision for themselves. They are the experts on their life, on their situation. And one thing that people are often surprised when I say is, we have clients that we counsel to stay in their relationships safely. So we never say, you have to get out of there. You have to get out of there tonight. We can say, I'm concerned about you, right? I'm concerned about your well-being. Obviously, we are mandated reporters and there's certain cutoffs that we have about, you know, hurting someone else or yourself or child abuse or elder abuse. But we do not tell people to leave their relationships.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's the role of a very good therapist.
Right.
What I want to do is take a break. And when we come back, we're going to touch on the two remaining types of abuse that we have not yet touched on, as well as a lot of other information for our listeners today. So this is Beth O'Malley at Be Well with Beth at the Greenwich Sentinel Radio Hour, 1490 WGCH or WGCH.com from anywhere.
From the WGCH Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Dr. Bill Evans with your Doppler weather radar forecast. WGCH brings you up-to-the-minute weather 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Rain is going to get heavy as we go into the evening commute and into the night. Temperature around 40 degrees around Greenwich and Stamford. Fairfield County, Westchester County, New Haven County, Long Island, all under a coastal flood warning. High wind warning. This will be until 1 a.m. Winds are at 40 miles an hour right now, gusting up to around 50. Tonight, the wind goes to 60 miles per hour, 2 to 3 feet above normal high tide. We're looking at 2 to 3 inches of rain through tonight and overnight. Temperature 38. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Evans for 1490 WGCH.
This is Margaret Walsh of Greenwich Library. Mental illness in children, adolescents, and young adults is common. One out of five children have or will have a diagnosable mental illness before the age of 18. To help shed light on this issue, Greenwich Library, in partnership with Pathways of Greenwich and Laurel House of Stamford, is proud to host a screening of the film No Letting Go. Based on a true story and adapted from the award-winning short film Illness, No Letting Go is a feature drama that follows one family's journey to understand and to cope with the erratic behavior and emotional instability of their son. No Letting Go is a powerful film that gives voice to millions of families who suffer alone and in silence. After the movie, the film's writer and producer, Randy Silverman, will lead a Q&A session. The screening will take place Tuesday, January 24th at 6:15 in the Cole Auditorium. Please call 622-7910 for more information. I'm Margaret Walsh of Greenwich Library and 1490 WGCH.
Good afternoon, folks. This is Beth O'Malley at Be Well with Beth, part of the Greenwich Sentinel Radio Hour, here at 1490 WGCH or WGCH.com from anywhere. And I am blessed to be here this afternoon with Leslie Copland from the YWCA here in Greenwich, and she is part of the Greenwich Domestic Abuse Services of the YWCA Greenwich. And what I would like to do is to start out with a couple of facts before we go back to our discussion around the six different categories or classifications of abuse and violence. The first one is there is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week hotline that is specific to our town for local folks, and that number feeds right into the YWCA of Greenwich Domestic Abuse Services hotline, and that number is 203-622-0003. Again, 203-622-0003. The other two...
Can I just say one thing about the hotline? Just that it is completely confidential, completely free, as are all our services. It rings directly into our office, and you'll be speaking directly with a domestic violence advocate, a trained counselor, and that's 24 hours a day. So that's always... there's always someone that will answer by the second ring.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a therapist in town, when I'm working with folks and I do have them call in, sometimes they'll call in and they'll call to set up an appointment for additional support. But sometimes in the heat of the moment, just leaving, going to their car and being able to call a local number to talk to someone immediately, just to calm down and recenter and refocus.
Absolutely.
In order to
Nobody
return.
Is going to come to your house if you call us. We, they're not going to send a police car and an ambulance to your house. It's confidential. It's for whatever you need it to be. We also often have clients who are getting our services, but sometimes in between appointments, something happens and they need to discuss it or they need to get some support. So we're always there for that. The other thing I really want to mention is that my work or the work of the prevention and outreach team is that kind of that warm referral. So as you said, if you are a clinician and you have someone, you're not just giving them a phone number. You can say, let's call Leslie. I know her. She's cool. She'd be happy to talk to you, or maybe call together. Mm-hmm. Right. Because it's very intimidating. The call that people make to our hotline sometimes is the first time they have said this out loud.
Right.
Or even they're just wondering early on in a relationship, is this normal? Is this healthy? Is this OK? And we'll have all those kind of conversations. As a matter of fact, we give our number out to sixth graders when we talk about healthy relationships in the middle schools. And we're talking certainly in that case more about friendships, things like that. And we give them, if your friendship group is having an issue, you can call us and we can talk about that, right? Because the idea is you want to learn early on what a healthy relationship looks like.
That's awesome.
So the hotline is for everyone.
That's great.
Yeah, good, it is great.
And I know you do have child experts right there at the Y to help with for children.
Absolutely.
Who are growing up in homes where there is violence.
Right. The big distinction is they used to view children who grew up in homes with domestic violence as witnesses of, and now they are really victims, right?
Because
if something is happening in between your parents, you're hearing things, you're witnessing, it's happening to you.
Right. It's witness to abuse,
right,
which is abuse.
Right.
So there are two different events that mm-hmm. I want to point out. One is coming up, and that is Tuesday, the 28th of February, from 6:30 to 8 p.m. There's going to be a film called Escalation, which is really geared towards young adults. And that
actually, this particular screening is for adults in the community. So you could be a service provider, an educator, a parent, anyone who comes into contact with young adults and teens. It's a film called Escalation. I think it's about a 40-minute film. I actually saw it. It's pretty great. And it is really a conversation starter, a teaching tool as well. It's a film. It's a narrative form, but it's based on all the dynamics that happen in abusive relationships.
Great.
That parents don't know about. It actually was started by the family of a woman named Yardley Love, and
she was a victim of violence.
Yes,
correct?
And she her parents didn't know anything about this. She went to the University of Virginia, and she was actually murdered by her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And she was educated and outgoing mm-hmm. and energetic. And so the message of the One Love Foundation is to really get this information out, what domestic violence, intimate partner violence looks like, all the types that we've been talking about, and then some, how to help a friend, because a lot of her story is that all her friends on campus knew, all his friends on campus knew, and she had asked them sort of not to share the information and wanted to handle it on her own. And looking back, a lot of them say, you know, they would have intervened in a different way. So when we go out to talk to the teens in Greenwich, we always say that we know teens are comfortable talking to other teens about their relationships, but there a time comes where you want to talk to a trusted adult, whoever that is for you, a parent, a teacher, a guidance counselor,
right.
Whoever that is for you, that you don't want this on your shoulders, or us, right? That's why we go out to the schools. We want to become the trusted adult for this particular topic for teens and young adults. And they've shown this film to about 90,000 students across the country. They go to college campuses. We're hoping to show it in some other Greenwich schools.
You're working right now to educate the adults locally on the movie Escalation and to promote it so that you can bring it into both the private and public schools,
right?
Correct?
And to start the conversation, because what we know is that parents often either don't want to talk about this topic at all. We always say when we talk, you know, it's like the sex talk, you know, you either have it or you don't, or maybe you have it once. So let's say you talk to your teen about dating when they're 15, but by the time they're 20, they're really dating and they're really in a situation that's uncomfortable. So you either talk about it to your teen, you don't talk about it at all, or you talk about it too much, or you overreact, or they hear you overreacting when they talk about their friend's dating situation. So you want to leave those lines of communication open. Mm-hmm. And kind of like we said before about the friend that you said who was so able to support her friend that was in an abusive relationship, you want them to be able to come to you and get that support.
Right, right. And we are actually... Jahira, mm-hmm. from the Y.
Jahira Gonzalez, yes.
She is going to be doing a show with us later on in the spring on youth, on teenage and young adult violent or abusive relationships.
Right.
So
that'll
be good.
She's a co-advisor to, in addition to the middle school programs we do, she is a co-advisor to YNET, which is the youth network. It's a club at Greenwich High School, a very popular club, very active club. And they actually train teens to be to help other teens. Aside from doing a lot of public awareness, mm-hmm. events, they do the people in the building, the students in the building, and the teachers in the building know that YNET is trained on how to properly talk to help.
Terrific.
Someone who's in an abusive relationship. So it's really a special program.
Great. All right. The other event that I would like to inform our listeners about is the Old Bags Luncheon, which is one of my most favorite events in town. This year in May, we are having the May 11th, 2017 Old Bags Luncheon at the Bellhaven Club. Now, I've attended the last few years. The first time I attended, there were models, like actual real models, modeling the bags. This past year,
it was fantastic.
I basically, first responders were brought in who work for the town of Greenwich. So town employees, I believe, were they all police officers?
Yeah, I believe so.
I believe so. Mm-hmm.
In uniform.
Men
and women.
Different uniforms,
mm-hmm.
because there are different levels
exactly.
of uniform, which was really cool.
I learned a lot from that. I didn't know about all the different uniforms. Yeah,
well, and
great.
Then, of course, all of the beautiful bags that were up for auction were coordinated beautifully with their uniforms.
Right. So during the live auction, it was announced what the description of the bag
right.
and the description of the person who was walking the bag around. And they really got into it.
It was really
it was
fun.
Great. Yeah.
It was a great, great experience.
Yeah, we're very lucky to work so closely with the Greenwich Police Department. That's definitely a great resource in this town. They actually have designated officers who are also trained on domestic violence. And while I used to say we had one 24-hour hotline, now I always say we have two 24-hour hotlines, because just to briefly touch on this, we have something called the LAP line, which is the Lethality Assessment Program. And that is a designated line that the Greenwich police call. So if they go on a call where it's domestic violence, they have a screening tool a questionnaire that mm-hmm. they have the person who made the call fill out. And if they screen in by answering a certain amount of questions and actually certain questions on the list, some are obvious, some are not obvious, they immediately call us with the person there and connect us. So it's that warm referral that I'm talking about. It's not just giving someone, hey, call this hotline. You seem like you need help. You're closing that loop. You're really trying to not let anybody slip through the cracks, because this is a very hard thing to come forward with, right? So,
right.
You know, the Greenwich police say these are some of the most challenging calls they go on, because how many crimes do you go to the site and the victim loves the perpetrator? Right?
Yeah.
So when those cuffs go on, Sergeant Brent Reeves always says, it's a real wake-up call.
Yeah.
The father of your children, the breadwinner, whatever it is, that's a real wake-up call. So maybe you want the abuse to stop, but you don't want that person out of your life.
One of the really incredible pieces of the police department here in Greenwich is how well trained and how comprehensive their domestic violence unit is. And it's not just any old street police officer who's going to show up for a domestic violence
call. Absolutely. They are trained. So something as simple as you would separate the two people. Sometimes when they go to the call, they have to decipher. There is such a thing as a dual arrest where, like, well, she did this to me. Well, he did this to me. They're trained to know, to look at the wounds to see what's a defensive wound. And also, they're always two officers, and they separate the couple and they interview them separately, because we haven't finished the types of abuse, but one could just be a look. Right. If I give you that look that says you better not say anymore. I mean, we all know we try to do that look, you know, with your kids or, or whatever. But it's very different if you're in a, you know, an equal partnership. That shouldn't be the case. But it is in these types of situations.
Right.
So that they're trained just as something as simple as that can make all the difference in getting the proper, you know, the full story and acting appropriately. So we're very, very lucky to work so closely with them.
It's wonderful. All right. We still need to come back to the six types of abuse that people experience in relationships, and there are two remaining ones. Before we do that, we're going to take a brief break, and we will be right back. So this is Beth O'Malley at the Greenwich Sentinel Radio Hour. Be well with Beth at WGCH 1490 or 1490 or WGCH.com.
From the WGCH Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Dr. Bill Evans with your Doppler weather radar forecast. WGCH brings you up-to-the-minute weather 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Rain is going to get heavy as we go into the evening commute and into the light. Temperature around 40 degrees around Greenwich and Stamford. Fairfield County, Westchester County, New Haven County, Long Island, all under a coastal flood warning. High wind warning. This will be until 1 a.m. Winds are at 40 miles an hour right now, gusting up to around 50. Tonight, the wind goes to 60 miles per hour, 2 to 3 feet above normal high tide. We're looking at 2 to 3 inches of rain through tonight and overnight. Temperature 38. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Evans for 1490 WGCH.
We invite you to listen this Tuesday morning at 9:30 for an enlightening show, Good Living with Michelle Thomas. It'll bring a smile to your face, a few laughs, and the warmth of knowing how fortunate we are. Michelle will discuss topics that highlight good living for those in their golden years and caring for aging parents. We invite you to listen to Good Living with Michelle Thomas this Tuesday morning at 9:30 on 1490 WGCH.
Good afternoon. This is Beth O'Malley at Be Well with Beth, part of the Greenwich Sentinel Radio Hour at WGCH or WGCH.com. And I am here today with the YWCA Greenwich Domestic Abuse Services. And we are so pleased to have Leslie Copland with us. Leslie obtained her master's in social work at Fordham and her undergraduate in communications at Emerson, and is really well suited to her position at the Y, with doing coordination within our community and really helping to educate and be available to train in the area to go out and speak to individuals, adults, youth, and even professionals. And I had the pleasure of meeting her for the very first time at Greenwich Hospital, where she was presenting to the staff in doing a very intensive training program for basically physicians and nurses, I
right.
believe.
Right. Definitely a new initiative. I mean, it's been going on for a while, but it's really getting some traction now is medical advocacy. Because as you said, service providers, certainly mental health, but even in the medical field, how do you ask these questions? You could have someone right in front of you that is experiencing domestic violence, and if you don't ask them or you don't know what you're looking for, you could be missing a golden opportunity to connect that person with our services. So we're really trying to reach out to, I'm speaking to lawyers who may not know, you know, in divorce court or in any sort of custody battle, what domestic violence and intimate partner violence looks like. And as we talked about all the types, it's very complicated. Nurses, for sure. And I'll talk to any sort of professional association. I'll go to your book club. I really want to get the message out there as much as I can because we know statistically it is happening. As we said, it's the second most investigated crime in Greenwich. Statistic is usually, one in three women, one in four women nationally, one in three women probably internationally, is experiencing this in their lifetime. So by nature of that, it is happening here. And if you are in a field where you're talking to people, you are talking to someone who is living with domestic violence. So you have to know how to have that conversation.
Right. Even, I was speaking with my girlfriend owns a hair salon, and we were actually traveling recently together and talking about our different, anonymously talking about our, what I say, patients. But hers are her clients who are coming to get their hair done, and she sometimes knows more intimate detail from her clients.
Right. They say they're like bartenders or any sort of person who comes into contact on a regular basis. We're also hoping to get into pediatricians, obstetricians, midwives, anyone who is coming into contact with women especially, because we know about 85% of the reported cases, a woman is the victim, although, you know, we know that men also are abused. I want to make sure that's clear. And might be less likely to come forward to say they are abused, but yeah, it's happening. And if you don't know to have the conversation or what the dynamics are, so say you're a hairdresser, where we talked before about, well, actually, maybe that'll lead me into one of the other types of abuse, digital abuse. We didn't talk about financial. We can go back to that. So we've covered physical, sexual, emotional, verbal. Digital abuse, when I first started doing this work only a few years ago, we used to say there were five types of abuse, and now there's six. Because what do we all have in our pockets? Our phones. And digital abuse makes you feel like the person who is abusing you is right inside your pocket 24/7. So let's say you're a hairdresser, you have someone in your chair, and their partner texts them 40 times when they're there. When are you coming home? Where are you? Text me back. Text me back. That's digital abuse. If you can say to that person, hey, I'm going to shut my phone off now because I'm getting my hair washed or whatever, then that's not abusive. But if they don't respect that boundary, they're using that as power and control. So just to briefly get back to, we really haven't defined it. So we define domestic violence is defined as a pattern, right? So it's not something that happens once. It's not something one time they call you a name, one time they, you know, insult you or hurt your feelings. It's a pattern of abusive behaviors for one person, so the same person in that relationship, to have power and control over the other person and maintain that power and control. So these are not random acts. This is not someone losing their temper on one occasion. I mean, we do say that it has to be a pattern. However, the two forms of abuse that are abusive if they happen only one time is anything physical or sexual. There's never an excuse for someone to put their hands on you or coerce you into any sexual behavior. But by and large, it's the pattern, right? So it's happening over and over and over again.
And generally, you'll see the abuse happening in a few of those six categories, not just in one or two.
Exactly. And you can be in an abusive relationship for years with just emotional and verbal abuse. And, you know, what we often say, the most dangerous time for a victim, and the other reason why we never say you should just get out of there, is when they decide to leave. Because by definition, the abuser is losing 100% of their power and control, right? So that could catapult it into the physical violence where that has never existed before.
And that's when I found, as a therapist in town, that it's it's most beneficial to have my client get in touch with the why so that I can work hand in hand with a counselor at the why. Because as a therapist, I can work with a client around the issues, around identifying this relationship as abusive. But then when we get to a place where that patient is really saying, you know what, I don't want to live like this anymore, I'll have them go over to meet with someone on your staff. And I've had situations where my patient is fine to go alone, but I've had situations where they're too afraid. They've been in counseling for a year, but too afraid to go on their own to the YW because that's somehow labeling the abuse differently as truly domestic violence. But your staff is so well trained in the legalities and in safety planning. There's so many services that you guys can offer. I mean, as simple as, I had a client who was being harassed by phone by an ex-boyfriend, and the phone calls were almost over 1,000.
Wow.
Call hang-ups. And there are ways to protect someone from that right. I didn't know about.
Right. And we call that safety planning, and we do that with every client, even who calls the hotline. Just some of our other services that you referenced, we have individual and group counseling, even for people who are out of abusive relationships, support groups for children. We do all sorts of crisis intervention. We have emergency, safe and secure emergency shelters. We have court services where we have someone who's a victim advocate who will work with you through the court process. We have programs for children, right, who have grown up or are currently living with this situation. We have multilingual services. We have a bilingual advocate and all the prevention programs that I talked about that we do in the school. So we really
and
do.
There's some health and wellness, too. I know that you offer yoga for your clients.
Right. Anything that's sort of trauma-informed, right, because a lot of times these victims are holding things in their body and they've lost touch with who and what they are and their body.
I had a client maybe 3 years after coming out of the abusive relationship, was now in a new healthy relationship, and they went back to seek some of that body work from your staff because, and I forget her name, maybe it was Louisa, but there was they did tapping work with her.
Oh, okay.
And it was just incredible and really helped to release some of the energy so that she could now be in a healthy, intimate relationship and be touched, because in the past there had been so much sexual violence that being touched was enough to really shake her up.
Right, yeah. All our therapists are trauma-informed, and as I said, that client-defined advocacy. Whatever you need, we will support you in what you need.
One of the things, I know we have we want to talk a little bit about financial abuse, and I actually would love to do a whole show on financial abuse.
I'm
because
happy to come back.
There's so much to say there. But I do want to throw out two names of books that I just find to be incredible. One is Why Does He Do That? By Lundy Bancroft.
The best book.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's one of our real basic books, but it's just incredible. It's written by a man who did work with abusers. So that's fascinating. And then one for Fairfield County, and this is probably the book I recommend more often than not to anyone who lives in this area, which is Not to People Like Us, Hidden Abuse in Upscale Marriages by Susan Weitzman.
Fantastic books. I mean, the additional layer of shame that comes along with being in an upscale, being in a woman who's educated or living a certain lifestyle in the community, you know, could be in Greenwich, could be anywhere.
That really leads you right into financial abuse.
Right, absolutely. And that's, you know, as you said before, one person might be earning the salary, but in a healthy relationship, you share decisions on how that money is spent, decisions that are made, and you may be told by your abuser, well, nothing's in your name, so if you leave me, good luck. Now, that's not necessarily the case, right? That doesn't. But if you've been told that and all these other forms of coercive control, you'd be more likely to believe that and think if you leave or if you are living a certain lifestyle, right? People think that's trivial. But if I'm used to, or my children are used to, doing certain things, going certain places, having certain things, we're not going to judge them for it because that's their reality, right? And there are a lot of there are a lot of specific situations that pertain to an abuser who is very actually powerful, right? So if someone's threatening you with, if you leave me, this and this will happen to you, well, what if that person really is powerful in your community? That's an extra added...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then commonly I hear, you know, before I moved here, I have to be honest with you, I was in the field for probably, I don't know, 18 years prior to working. I moved into Greenwich about 10 years ago. And I didn't realize that there are still so many women who have no access to or knowledge about their funds, their
right.
money, their own money.
Right.
I am aware of the time and we need to wrap up.
Not so fast.
It was wonderful.
I can talk about this forever, I know you could as well.
Well, we're going to have the episode with Jahira. From the Y.
Right, actually February is Teen Dating Violence
right.
Awareness Month. So.
Yeah, and I think that's when she's scheduled for. Mm-hmm. And then I would like to have you come back to talk about the financial, emotional, and verbal abuse, the more subtle abuses, and the cycle of abuse, and the honeymoon phase, the explosive phase, the tension-building phase, and how abusive relationships don't always feel bad. Sometimes
Absolutely.
They feel good.
And that gives you hope that it'll change. Absolutely.
All right. With regard to that, I just want to throw out the number there again. It's 203-622-0003, and that's for the hotline. Thank you so much. This is Beth O'Malley at the Greenwich Sentinel Radio Hour.
You're listening to the Voice of Greenwich, 1490 WGCH Greenwich.
No TPP? Lawsuit. I'm Chaz Henry. On the new administration's workday number one, President Trump has signed a memorandum dropping the idea of U.S. membership in a trans-Pacific trade partnership. White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer.
This executive action ushers in a new era of U.S. trade policy in which the Trump administration will pursue bilateral trade opportunities with allies around the globe. This is a strong signal that the Trump administration wants free and fair trade throughout the world.
A group of ethics lawyers today filed a lawsuit against President Trump. Correspondent Steve Kastenbaum.
The argument is that anytime a member of a foreign government pays to stay at a room at a Trump hotel or a foreign entity makes a payment on a lease in a Trump-owned building, it violates the Foreign Emoluments Clause. Former White House ethics advisor Norman Eisen is part of the group suing in federal court here in New York.
There's strong bipartisan agreement that we need to know more about these deals.
The president calling it without merit. I'm Chaz Henry. Some positive news today about the health of former President George H.W. Bush. Correspondent Alan Skaya.
Doctors at Methodist Hospital say the former president was giving them a thumbs up when he was in ICU.
Which is a testament to his intestinal fortitude, because I sure would want to be knocked out if I've got a tube down my throat.
Dr. Clint Dorr says George H.W. Bush has now been moved out of ICU and could leave the hospital later this week.
A nor'easter is pounding coastal areas from Virginia into New England with an ice.